Be open your Bibles, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 43. Isaiah, chapter number 43. Let's put away everything. Let's put it away except the Word of God. That's what we're here for, to hear the Bible. I trust you'll clear your lap of everything except the Word of God. I'm honored to be here. I'm always honored to be here. I mean that. I've come to know and love you people, love your pastor every day. I pray for your pastor, his dear wife. And I'm looking for a great week, but it won't be great unless you're part of it, really. Understand something. This is not a one-man show. It's everybody working. The book of Acts shut the world. Think of that. One church shut the world. Why? Here it is. Time and time again. Son, put that away, please. They were all with one accord in one place. That's the key. Everybody working, everybody praying, everybody witnessing, everybody inviting, and all hell couldn't stop that. Why? Because everybody was involved. Hope you'll be faithful, but don't come alone. Bring somebody with you. You say, Brother Mark, I don't have any friends. With some of you, I understand that, I do, but I bet you have a friend somewhere. There was one man, his name would tell you he didn't have a friend. His name would tell you he was friendless. The guy's name was the Lone Ranger. You can't get any lonelier than a guy whose name is the Lone Ranger. Wait, time out. Guess what? He had one friend, a faithful Indian companion named Tonto. Now, you have a friend. He may be Indian. He may be Jewish. He may be Episcopalian. He may be Presbyterian. Hey, whatever he is, really, let's make an effort this week to bring somebody with us. Look in your Bible, Isaiah 43. Isaiah is my favorite book in the Bible. It's called the Gospel of John of the Old Testament. Isaiah had kind of a unique way to put things, and that impresses me a great deal because I'm unique. But anyway, I'm glad you're here today. Look in your Bible, Isaiah 43, verse number 18. God said, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I gave waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise." 2 years ago on New Year's Day, a teenage girl committed suicide. Behind she left the note. The note said this: "I made a deal with God, and unless life was worth living, I'd quit living." How sad. She wanted a life of fulfillment and happiness. She wanted on her terms, not on God's terms. Today, the Church of Jesus Christ is full of believers. They're saved on the way to heaven. The joy's gone. The thrill's gone. The excitement's gone. Now, thank God they haven't quit. But my friend, I want to give you good news today. God wants to do something new in your life today. Number one, first of all, the promise of God's new thing. Look in your Bible again, verse number 18. God said, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth." First of all, God promises to transcend the things that are past. Look again, please. Look in your Bible again, at verse 18. "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Here's what God said. Don't live on the good old days. Don't live on what I used to do, I used to be. My friend, God wants to get you to a higher level. Paul said, "Forgetting those things which are behind, stop." What a statement. Paul raised people from the dead. Paul saw thousands saved. But Paul said this: "I'm not living on yesterday. My greatest days of serving God are not history. Thank God they're prophecy, because the Almighty God is the one I'm serving and the one I'm obeying. I don't care what you've done in the past. Your greatest days are not back there. Your greatest days are in the future." Why? He is the Almighty God. I like that. When God says he can do something new, he's not guilty of false advertising. My friend, he is the Almighty God. Has he not said? Shall he not do? Has he not spoken? Shall he not make it do? That ought to thrill your heart. Man, you could do great things serving God in the future. Number one, he promises to transcend the things that are past. Number two, here we go. He promises to transform the things that are present. Say, "Preacher, oh, you don't know my situation." No, but God does. God knows your situation. And God is greater than your situation. Read into the bad situations in the Bible. Jonah's in a belly's whale. That's not a good situation, okay? But God got him out, okay? Wherever you are, God can do something in your life as an individual. God sees us as individuals. And after whatever temptation you face, God's right there to give you victory. Whatever might be the situation at work, standing for him, God's there to give you victory. Now, how's God going to do this? Three things. Number one, first of all, God promises, my friend, life, I like this word, spontaneity. Look in your Bible, verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. That word spontaneity means this. It means surprise. Boy, I'm glad we got a God to surprise us. Maybe you say, boy, I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills this week. Surprise.
Amen.
Yeah. You win Reader's Digest sweepstakes. Amen. And don't forget the love offering when you get that. Amen. That's good preaching, Brother Mike. Really, really. God is a God that surprises us. You say, God's a God that can make us say, wow. Why? Because, my friend, he is the Almighty God. And God can do something in your life you thought he couldn't do. When you think, boy, there's no hope. It couldn't be any worse than the children of Israel. Behind them, oh, man. The Egyptians, they hated them. Part of those stinking Christians up there. My firstborn kid died. Get them. Get revenge. Here they are. Behind them are the enemy. In front of him is a river. What happened? Thank God God opened the river and made a way through. My friend, get a hold of that. God has not changed. Where there is no way, God can make a way. Number one, first of all, a life of spontaneity. God says surprise. Number two, I like this. A life of creativity. Look in your Bible at verse 19. Lord, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Even make a way in the wilderness. God is a God that creates. Creates. And he can create things in your life. Things that will make you a better Christian. Things that will make you reach. See, when God does something in our life, it strengthens our faith. And my friend, we get our faith strengthened, the next time we go for something a little stronger. And before long, we're living by faith. Why? But it starts when God does something originally in our life and in our place. I was preaching in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Young man hadn't been saved long. He was on fire for God. He was an architect. In the architect firm, there were 12 guys. He was the only Christian. And boy, he was excited. Excuse me. And Monday night, he came to church. He was down. I said, hey, what's wrong, Mike? He said, preacher, my boss called me in today. He said, at work, I've been giving out gospel tracts. My boss said, Mike, we're sick of those papers you give out. Don't give out any more papers. He said, sir, I don't do it on company time. I do it before work, after work, sometimes at noon. He said, listen, you're on company property. Don't give them out. Brother Mark, he said, I'm probably the only Christian in this whole thing. He said, if I don't reach those people, the chances are good. Nobody ever will. He said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. Let's pray about it. We had a time of prayer. Hey, the next time he come in, he is bubbling. He's rejoicing. He is thrilled. I say, boy, you must have had a good day. He said, I had a great day. He said, let me tell you about it. He said, God won't be up at 2 o'clock this morning. I'm praying. God, there's got to be some way I can get these tracks out. He said, God gave me this phenomenal idea. He said, this morning in Tennessee, I was the first guy at work. So I went in the men's restroom, unrolled all the toilet paper in the stalls, put a gospel tract in, rolled it up 2.5 times. Another gospel tract, rolled it up 2.5 times. I got through with that. He said, I went to the ladies' restroom, unrolled all the toilet paper, put a gospel tract in, rolled it up 2.5 times. Another gospel tract. He said, this morning at 10 o'clock, my phone rang. I picked it up. It was the boss. Said, Mike, I want to see you. He said, I walked into his office. He's holding a gospel tract. He said, Mike, can you guess where I was sitting when this fell on my lap? Mike said, now wait, sir. Did I hand it to you? No. Did I give it to you? He said, no, sir. He said, this means a lot to you, doesn't it? He said, sir, this means everything to me. He said, Mike, the guy promised me one thing. Promise me. He said, what is it? He said, promise me. No, tell me what. He said, promise me. You'll cut down your paper route by 1% and stay at it. Amen. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? Now why? There was no way. Impossible. The boss said no. But thank God he made a way. He continues to this day to give out tracts and share the gospel with the lost and dying world. Number one, first of all, a life of spontaneity. Number two, a life of creativity. Number three, a life that produces something, a life of productivity. Look in your Bible, look carefully, verse 19, what does he say? Behold, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's a strange statement. What is the point? A river starts to say, hey, look, there's a river. Is that the point? No. What is the point? Oh, you know this. You've heard it before. In the desert, under the sand, there's all kinds of seeds and stuff. When it does rain in the desert, all of a sudden, the Bible says, it blossoms as a rose. When these seeds get wet, they sprout, they come up. What's the purpose of there? Rivers in the desert. My friend, God can help you wherever you are to produce something that will glorify His name. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. I don't care where you work, how tough it is. God can use you to produce something. Produce Christian character. Hey, let's go a step further. Produce folks getting saved. That's part of the Bible, my friend. Bible salvation. What did Jesus say? You shall go, what's the word? Go and bring forth fruit. What is that? Could only be one thing, not soul winning. You said home and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. When God says go, God said get out there, witness, share, and I'll use you to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. I have a dear friend pastoring in Tennessee, and he used to be assistant pastor of a church in Minneapolis. He had me for a camp, and we had a great camp, and Brother Bob, the last day of camp, after the morning service, said, let's go for a walk. Okay, we're walking in the woods. He said, preacher, I got a problem. I said, what? He said, this night should be the greatest night of camp. We ought to have some super colossal activity. He said, I wrap my brain. I can't think of a thing. I said, well, you've done great so far. God will give you something. Walking through the woods, around the camp there, we come on this great big pond. Bob said, that is it. I said, yes, that is called a pond. He said, no, no. He said, there is our activity tonight. After service, I'm going to get their old clothes on, get their flashlights. I'm going to bring them out here. Brother Marky said, I'm going to march them through the pond. I said, time out. You don't know how deep that is. I said, that thing could be 10 foot deep. Not many teenagers are 10 foot deep. Somebody could drown out there. I said, Bob, it's your camp. You do what you better think that one through, buddy. I said, I guess I'm just, he said, we'll do something else. We did. And boy, we had a great meeting, a great night, Friday night. The kids love the activity. And Saturday morning, we're getting packed up to leave. The camp caretaker comes to get the money, and Brother Bob talked to him. He said, by the way, he said, how deep is that pond out there? He said, well, the one out east of camp. He said, sir, that's not a pond. That's a sewage disposal for the entire camp. Can you imagine? Brother Bob marches the kids through the sewage disposal. They get home. When Mama opens up the suitcase, she is not happy. That's right. Now, hear me. What's the point? The point's this. I know Christians walk in the filth of the world. I know Christians walk in the outscoring of the world. My friend, God didn't save you to wallow in the flesh. He saved you to live in the holies and serve Him and love Him and obey Him. And my friend, God made you to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life that people might say, you know, Jesus didn't die. He died, but He's not in that tomb. Christ didn't rot in that tomb. Christ didn't stench in that tomb. He's alive. How do you know that? Because I saw Him living in that person right there. That's what it should be. Paul said, the Christ may be manifest in my body. What a statement. Paul said, when folks see me by my action, my reaction, my attitude, I want them to realize we serve a living Savior today. Oh, my friend, has it been produced in your life? It should be. It wants to be. Oh, no, the fruits of the Spirit. With the filling of the Holy Spirit. Number one, the promise of God's new thing. Number two, the purpose of God's new thing. Why does God want to do something new in your life? Two thoughts. Number one, first of all, my friend, to satisfy His people. Look at your Bible, verse number 20. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I gave waters in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Why did God give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert? Read further. To give drink to my people, my chosen. God did that what? To satisfy His people. See, when a believer isn't satisfied, he's a rotten testimony. You go to work, everybody else gripes, you gripe. Everybody else complains, you complain. The language gets bad. Yours gets bad. God never intended that. You'll never reach lost people living like them. The world wants to see something different. When they see something different, that will draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that, please. The purpose of God's new thing. To satisfy His people. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Watch it. There's more. There's more. Don't stop there. And all these things will be added unto you. What a great package God has for people when they put Jesus Christ first. The joy you'll have. The blessing you'll have. The thrill you'll have being used to God. Nothing. If I've been at this, nothing compares to what you feel when God uses you in some way to serve Him and magnify His name. When I get to heaven, the first person I want to meet is your pastor in a glorified body. That would be a great improvement. Somebody say amen. Thank you, folks. Yeah. Okay, so I get to heaven. First of all, the Lord Jesus. Then I see my buddy in his glorified body. Then I want to go see a great preacher in the past, R.A. Torrey. R.A. Torrey was a very unique man. He was a brilliant man. Brilliant man. On the verge of suicide. Going to end it all. His mother was home praying for him. And he got the gun. Going to commit suicide. The Spirit of God smote him. He got saved. He became probably one of the two most powerful evangelists of his age. Went all the way around the world preaching. And I think something like 30,000 people got saved when he went around the world in those days preaching the gospel. R.A. Torrey was a tremendous man of God. And when he was growing up, his father was a millionaire. And they lived up there in New Jersey somewhere. And they decided to build a new house. He went out in the country, built a mansion. Literally, a man came out to drill the well. The man went down, drilled the well, drilling down. They hit water, and the water come gushing out. The man had drilled the well, came to Dr. Torrey's father and said, "Sir, you got to stop the well up." Said that water's coming out with such force, it'll wash away the foundation of the house. They got all kinds of rubbish and garbage and rocks and filled it up. Went out further, drilled another well, did some grading, and that well worked fine. But a few years later, R.A. Torrey's dad declared bankruptcy, lost the house. R.A. Torrey became a world-famous evangelist, went around the world preaching. And he was going to a meeting, and he was on the train, and he realized the train stopped at the old home place. The train stopped, he got out, walked in the train station behind the desk with the guy he went to school with. They're talking. R.A. Torrey said, "Now, is the well there?" He said, "Well, Dr. Torrey, not the well you're thinking of." Said, "That well by the house," he said, "they didn't use that." No, there were a lot of ways they didn't use that. So what they did, he said, they got somebody there who knew what they were doing. They dug all the trash out of the original well. The guy sunk some casings down, made some changes. He said, and that was the best water anywhere, not the well out, the second well, the first well right by the house. He said, "Dr. Torrey, amazing. 4 years ago, in the entire county, that was the only well that had any water. Folks come for miles. They'd bring buckets. They'd bring barrels. Anything would hold water. They'd come, fill it up." He said, "That well never, ever run dry." Dr. Torrey, he said, "That well's been a blessing to hundreds and hundreds of people." R.A. Torrey checked the schedule. Time to catch the train. Went out, got aboard the train. The train headed out. All of a sudden, it hit him. There was a well that had been a blessing to hundreds of people. For years, it was clogged up and useless. Full of garbage and filth and dirt. How about your life? Is it clogged by filth, garbage, dirt, wrong priorities? Are you a blessing to your spouse? A blessing to your family? A blessing on the job? A blessing, my friend, in the church? Get rid of the garbage. Exalt Christ. You might be a blessing wherever you go, and when that happens, He is exalted. Number one, the purpose of God's new thing, to satisfy His people. Notice the abundance there. I'll give water, sit on down, to give drink. That's the abundance. What does your Bible say? Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's what God wants to give in your life. Think of that. He can do exceeding abundantly above all we can. You can't pray a prayer big enough that God can't answer. Amen. There's more. Above all, we ask you, well, think. Use your imagination instead of filth. Use it for God's glory. And imagine what God can do. And then get your life so He can do it in your life. Number one, I mentioned the first thing there. A life, my friend, to satisfy His people. God wants to do something new. Number two, to show forth His praise. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Why did God save you? We're going to get you to heaven. That's part of it. But to make people realize that Christianity is real and vital, and Christ is the center of it. And my friend, when we do that, what happens? Boy, Christ is praised. Not you. Christ gets the glory. Not you. God manifests Himself through you. Do you ever think of something? God is glorified through you. That's incredible. Think of that. The great God of heaven can use you to glorify and magnify and exalt His name. What a privilege. Glory to God. That's big time stuff. Let me ask you, but is He? Is He? He wants to. He can. And I hope you'll let Him. Many years ago, there were two salesmen, both in their early 20s. And in those days, what they were selling, they'd go to a certain town, both of them. And in those days, they shared a motel room. Nothing was thought of that back in the 50s and 60s. They had a motel. They would get in town. They'd start selling their product door to door. First of all, on that thing, let me see. Holly got there first. Later on, I'm trying to think of a guy's name. Later on, Neil came. And he went out selling. They went back to the hotel, went out for supper. They had supper. And while they were eating supper, Holly said, well, the guy's name was Joe. I'm sorry. Holly and Joe. He said, Joe, let's go to the tavern. And Joe said, I'm not going. I said, you're sick? He said, no. He said, Holly, I got to tell you something. Sunday, I went to church with my wife. They had a revival. He said, I walked down the aisle. I got saved. He said, man, I'm the happiest I've ever been. I'm the most fulfilled I've ever been. Holly laughed and said, you'll get over it. Ha ha. But he didn't. Oh, no. They meet after working all day, have supper. Joe would head out to the bar. Holly would go back to the room. Joe's on his knees praying. Holly comes in intentionally. He'd trip over him, then kick him and cuss him, saying, it's not real. It's not real. All Joe ever did was smile and say, Holly, I wish you knew who I know. Yeah, Joe would be on his, reading his Bible. One time Holly came in upset, grabbed the Bible, threw it on the floor, stumbled, and said, it's junk. It's just junk. It's fiction. He said, it's not fiction. It changed my life. It'll change yours. One Monday, Holly got where he was gone, went out and made the calls, waiting in the hotel room. The phone rang. He picked it up. It was Joe's wife. She said, I just want to tell you, Holly, Joe was sending some kids home after Sunday school today. A trucker ran a stoplight, killed Joe, hurt some of the kids, but they're going to live. But I called to tell you that Joe won't be there because Joe's already in heaven. Well, anyhow, Holly thought, well, at least I can do is go down to visitation. So the next night he drove down to visitation, walked in the funeral home. There was Joe's wife. She came up and said, Holly, come on, let's go to the coffin. As I went to that coffin, I looked in. There was Joe lying in the coffin, had that great big smile on his face. I turned to Joe's wife and said, man alive, the undertaker did a tremendous job. What a great smile he put in. She said, wait, Holly. When he scooped my husband up off the pavement, that smile was right there on his face. Holly said, I went back. I couldn't sell. Said, I just put in my time. The next Sunday, I planned it different. Saturday night, he said, I went to Joe's hometown. I knew what church he went to. He asked me 100 times. Sunday morning, I made sure I came in late. I sat in the back. That Sunday morning, he said, the preacher preached. Give the invitation. I walked down the aisle, and I got saved. He said, I got saved because I saw a Christian could be happy when he was living and smile when he was dying. And I knew he had something I didn't have. Don't you ever say, never say, how I live doesn't matter. My attitude doesn't matter. It does matter. Amen. Nobody lives to himself. Nobody dies to himself. How you live affects somebody else. Oh, my friend, Christ is worth living for. He's worth exalting after all he's done for you and I. One more thought, and I'm through. Number three, the provision of God's new thing. Now, first of all, I want you to see the failure of man. Man has failed. Open your Bible. Verse number 22. Three ways man has failed. First of all, there is no intercession. Thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob. Do you realize, dear friend, every time we fail in the Christian life, we fail for one reason. We do not pray. You have not. Why? Because you ask not. Yeah. You say, preacher, I'm too busy to pray. We'll get rid of some junk and pray. Every time the disciples fail, check this out in your Bible. Every time they fail, why they fail? What? Follow me, follow me. They heard the greatest preacher that ever lived, but they failed. They heard a spirit-filled preacher, but they failed. They saw miracles nobody else had ever seen, but they failed. They heard the voice of God from heaven, but they failed. Why? Why? Every time they failed to pray. Bible example, in the garden, the last night, Jesus said, you guys stay here and pray. I'll go up. Jesus goes up and prays. He comes back through the woods. Here's what he hears. Some of you women have heard it too. Hey, come on, guys. Hey, wake up, come on. Hey, come on, wake up. Oh, yeah, Jesus, we're prayer warriors. Yeah, 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 okay. He goes up and prays. Come back. Hey, guys, hey, come on. Guys, come on. Everything in the world's at stake. Pray. Yeah, Jesus goes up and prays and comes back, and they're all asleep. That night, every one of them become a coward and runs and hides and denies Christ. Why? There's a reason. The same reason you and I do. They were sleeping when they should have been praying. Can I bring this right in your life? Okay. I want to talk to you just a minute this morning about the greatest invention of the mankind. Greater than the wheel, greater than anything else, the greatest invention of mankind is called, get ready to say amen, the alarm clock. No amen, preacher. Okay, here you are. You're in bed tomorrow morning. Ding, 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 ding. Hit the snooze alarm. 5 minutes later, ding, ding, ding. Snooze alarm. 5 minutes later, ding, ding, ding. I would wager this morning, there are people in this auditorium, you have a callus on your index finger from hitting the snooze alarm. I'll bet you do. I'll bet you do. Okay, and here you are. Ready? All of a sudden, ding, ding. Hit that snooze alarm. With great discipline, you get out of bed. I'm going to be late for work. Water on the hair. You do gargle, no time to brush your teeth. Away you go. Wait, did you pray? No. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to miss a tremendous opportunity. We have not. Why? Because we ask. What's your Bible say? Praying always, whatever you do, don't miss prayer time. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto. That's the emphasis that God put on prayer. First of all, there's no intercession. Number two, there's no dedication. Look in your Bible again at verse 23. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle. In the Old Testament, they were to bring offerings of animals. Wait, they were so tight, they wouldn't even bring a little cattle. They wouldn't do it. Why? All self-centered. It's all for me, nothing for God. Forget tithing. No, that's Old Testament. No, it's not Old Testament. It's Bible. No intercession. No dedication. What else? No manifestation. Verse 24. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane. Now, there were certain offerings in the Old Testament. They were to bring cane, sweet cane for. They wouldn't do it. Why? Oh, man, what the neighbor's going to think if I walk down the street with all these big deals? What are my neighbors going to think? I don't want them to know I'm a Christian. Somebody from work saw me carrying these big things that came down the street, going down to worship. They'd make fun of me. Forget it! I'm sorry, secret disciples are not in the Bible. It's not there. Boldness is. First of all, the failure of man, but number two, the forgiveness of God. Open your Bible. Verse 26. How do I get right with God? How do I get a new zeal, a new fervor, a new love? Verse 26. God said, put me in remembrance. Let us pray together. Plead thou that thou mayest be justified. I'll quote the New Testament verse for that. If, what's that first word? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all God asks. Nothing else you can do. All he asks is what? You confess your sin. And God will cleanse you and bring back power and unction and boldness and authority and happiness and satisfaction. You'll never find in anything else till you get right with God. John Wanamaker started the first department store in America in Philadelphia. Shame on him, okay? What little money I make goes to department stores. Yeah, yeah. It was all John Wanamaker's fault. And the young man came off the street. He hired him to work in the shoe department. Now, in those days, when you bought shoes, ladies, they didn't say paper or plastic. What they would do, rip off a sheet of paper, put the shoes in the middle, wrap the paper around them, put a string around them, and you could carry them home. Now, I like that. I'll tell you why I like that. That way, ladies, you could only buy two pairs of shoes at a time. That's all you could buy. You could only carry two pairs at a time. Yeah. Yeah. And John Wanamaker hired this guy, boy. He's a good shoe salesman. And one time, business is slow, and so he's messing around there. He called the manager of the shoe department over and said, sir, look at this. We wrap the shoes this way instead of this way. We save a third of the paper. He said, man, we literally sell hundreds of pairs of shoes, thousands. That's a big savings to this. He said, show me again. He showed him. He said, son, on a certain day, I'll make an appointment. You go up and show that to John Wanamaker, old brother. On a given day, he said, son, today at 10:30, take the paper, the string, the shoes, go up and show it to John Wanamaker. Okay. Boy, the guy's scared to death. He goes up and walks in the receptionist area. She said, oh, you come to see Mr. Wanamaker? Yeah. Go right in. He's expecting you. He opened the door behind the desk. There is John Wanamaker. He said, son, you have something to show me. I'm eager to see this. I am. Go ahead and use my desk. Just show me. When the boy put the paper down, put the shoes down, folds the paper, gets the string, puts the string around it, makes a big flourishing gesture as he ties the bow, and he looks over. He knocked over John Wanamaker's ink well. Ink is spreading across the desk. John Wanamaker opened the desk drawer, got a couple of towels, got the young man a towel. Man, they're mopping up the ink the best they know how. The young boy trembling and said, sir, I'm so very, very sorry. Forgive me for spilling the ink. Said John Wanamaker reached over, pat him on the hand, said, that's a great idea, son. Thank you for showing it to me. What's the point? Once the boy said, I'm sorry, he confessed. Then everything was okay. That is with you and your God. You can go on, play the game. Never confess your sin. I don't care how macho you are, how tough you are, you'll never live for God till you confess your sin. It's time to let God do something new. God wants to do something new. God can do something new. Will you start today? How? By confessing your sin and getting right with God. Bow your head for prayer. Preacher, it's yours.
Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts now, Lord God. You've certainly challenged us in many ways this morning by the preaching of the Word of God. Lord God, help us not to leave this just to go and just one more time to hear the gospel, but Lord God, that we would say, Lord, there's some things in my heart, my life that I need to change. There's some things in my heart, my life I need to bring some things into my that were in the past. I ask you to forgive me. I need, Lord God, to be out there serving you, Lord. So speak to our hearts today. I have a question for you today. You're here today and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. That frustrates me more than anything else in the world. It ought to, not to know for sure if you're saved. You're here today and say, preacher, today I want you to pray for me. I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I certainly like to pray for you. Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you lift your hand with me right now and pray and say, dear God, help me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Here today and you say, preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed Lord and Believer's baptism. Or maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, you know, we're not a member of this church yet, but we want to become a member. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart, my life, I've just been in a quandary with it. I don't know what to do with it. Folks, why don't you bring that to Jesus? Give your heart to Him today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. You're here today and say, preacher, today there's some things in my heart and my life that I want to take care of. I want to get some things straightened out. Why don't you meet me down front? Let me have a word of prayer with you. You come at this time. For some of you, it may be a long time since you've come to this old altar. For some of you, it's a friend. For some of you, it's a friend you've forgotten. God spoke into your heart. Boy, I tell you what, God wants to work so bad, so much in your heart and your life. Won't you come today? Won't you say, Lord, there's just some things in my heart and my life. I got to confess. I got to get taken care of. Why don't you come? You hear Dave say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Deep down in your old, the old Satan is trying to say, everybody thinks you're saved. That'd be quite an embarrassment for you to walk forward. Let me tell you something. You better make sure of that. Days are short. Jesus is coming. You hear Dave say, preacher, I've been saved, but haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Why don't you come? You're today and say, preacher, we want to become members of this church. We want to serve God here. Why don't you come? Now, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that you'd be these who've come forward. Lord, you'd put your loving arm around about them and you'd comfort them, Lord. And Lord, that thank you for the promise of forgiveness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of answering our prayers. Lord, help us to pray more. Lord, now I pray you'd bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take an offering for Brother Joe today.